This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Woo. We just went through the game, and we got to the big moment when Jurickson Profar is at the plate. Now, he takes a couple of strikes, swings, 0-2 in the count, and takes a fastball up and a little in, and hits the deck on the 0-2 pitch.
All right, I got that. I got Trust Tree. The Trust Tree. We're in the Trust Tree right now.
Yeah, nobody's listening. It's just us.
Just us here. I, in real time, saw the pitch to Jurickson Profar and was like, I'll kill you. Like, I will hunt. What's his name? Hunter Harvey?
Hunter Harvey.
Yeah, I'll kill you. That was up in 97 miles an hour at a guy's face. I had the fellas in here because I'm technologically impaired. I said, pull that. I want to see where that dot is. Where'd that dot end up? Wasn't that bad of a pitch.
Because I told you, I was like, I mean.
And I go, shut up,
might
dude.
Might have been a little bit of a dramatic swing.
I go, no way. That ball was at his eyes. And then I saw the mark.
I mean, obviously he does not want to hit Jurickson anywhere. Head, foot, anywhere. Because that brings in the tying run. So he's not trying to hit anybody. We know that.
Yeah.
And it was up, and it was up, and it was a little in, like a little tight.
It was like a hair in. Based on the dot. Now my eyes
but it was
told
hard
me
and,
something.
It was hard and fast and up.
Yep.
And Jurickson reacted and went to the ground.
Good move.
And if it
strategic
inspired him, I mean the at bat continued, four more pitches, fouled some off, continued to battle. Scott Lewis, our friend, tweeted that Jurickson at-bat was a Rocky movie.
It really was.
It had ups and downs. It had a guy dusting himself off. I mean, it was this little story inside the story, just itself. And it ends with the walk-off hit, which was, by the way, if you didn't realize it, we'll get to a little bit more, maybe, and don't do this, not a walk-off double, even though it bounced over the wall. I'll just leave it at that. It was not a walk-off double by Jurickson Profar. It was a walk-off single. And the call, as you heard Jesse, was amazing. But we have the rest of the calls.
Here's
for
Jesse
you.
One more time.
Let's get Jesse again.
Profar swings, hits it in the air to deep right center. Thomas is back into the gap. Can't get there. They're going to walk it off again. Merrill and Kim score. And the Padres beat the Nationals 7-6.
One of Jesse's best of the year.
Yep.
Solid all the way through. Just nailed that one. Then there was the television call with Don Orsillo and Mark Grant.
Seventh pitch coming up. Profar hits it towards right center field. Long run for Lane Thomas. Not going to get there. Up and over. Two-run score. And the Padres walk it off. How far will Profar send that one? Padres win in 10. Amazing!
Yeah, if he had touched second, I would have won an extra hundo last night because I had Jurickson Profar over 1.5 total bases, and he got to a one.
So yeah, he did not.
So the double doesn't count as a double
because he celebrated before he got to second base, which means it's a single, not a double.
Double for going over the wall.
Why? It's a rule book double. It's a double.
But you have to, just like a home run, you have to touch all the bases to get credit for it. And so it won't, you know. Yeah, I mean, Jurickson will get credit for the hit, but slugging percentage, he won't get the he won't get the extra little tick on slugging percentage. Mm. Won't get the extra total base at the end of the year. Hopefully, it doesn't hurt his All-Star candidacy.
I think he's fine
with that one extra base loss, but it actually goes down in the scorebook as a walk-off single.
Hunter
by
said,
Jurickson Profar.
Hunter said, "Woodsy down 169." Nah, Woodsy hit a five-gamer last night. Woodsy's fine. You don't worry about your old pal Woods. I had money.
Woodsy's operating from the black.
Yeah,
from last night.
The drink's on me. I needed the Padres win to hit my five-gamer, and I texted you guys. I go, you know how this is going to end. Down three runs. I'm like, son of a gun.
Before we get to the rest,
me an extra hundo.
Before we get to the rest of the calls, let me throw out the numbers for Take on Woods and your chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas. 833-288-0973. Call us now. 833-288-0973. Hold on for a couple of minutes for our game. All right, next up, the legendary Eduardo Ortega in Padres Spanish Language Radio.
Harvey tiene situación de salvamento. Se está enfrentando a Profar una vez de uno nada. Un elevado a la playa. Va lejos el jardinero. Va entre dos. La bola vuela.
Amazing.
Se va. Wow. En la barba. Un doble. Se acabó el juego. Ganaron los Padres. 7-6. Dejó lo mejor para el final. La metió a la playa. Es Profar. ¡Qué momento tan glorioso! Dejan en el terreno los nacionales viniendo de atrás en la décima entrada. Perdían por 3. Han logrado 4 grandes carreras.
That man goes from 0 to 100.
I love it.
I heard playa a couple of times, I think, because it was headed toward the beach.
The beach.
Out there, yeah.
Harvey tiene situación de salvamento.
Just cruising down the road right now.
A Profar. Una vez de uno nada. Un elevado a la playa. Va lejos el jardinero. Va entre dos. La bola vuela. Se va.
Wow.
En la barda.
En la barda.
Just getting it, man.
Se va. Wow. En la barda.
It's a Hall of Famer right there, by the way.
Straight up.
Hall of Famer.
I have pushed for that. Eduardo Ortega, National Baseball Hall of Fame broadcaster's wing. Got to happen.
No question.
In the next few years.
No
Absolutely.
Question.
Absolutely
we,
needs to happen.
How do we even happen. Get that going?
I don't know.
Right here, right now.
Maybe Bob Kendrick can put in a good word for someone. He runs a Hall of Fame somewhere. Maybe he can put in a good word. But that was the Spanish language call. Now, you usually go with the Korean last, but I want to hold the Washington Nationals TV stuff for the end, because we've got some discussion to go with what the Washington Nationals were saying. So let's get to the Korean call of the walk off by Profar.
자 최고치는 쏘아 올렸습니다. 오른쪽인데요. 자, 오른쪽인데요.
Always clutch. Always clutch.
Really fantastic. Now, Paulie, do we have the actual call of the Nationals?
I have
just
the
what
Nationals radio call.
Okay.
And then I have what their TV broadcast said following the game.
Go give me the Nationals radio call just to hear their disappointment.
Everybody on their feet here at Petco. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Harvey sets and fires. Swing and it's poked in the air. Deep right center field. Thomas going back on the run. He can't get it. The ball bounces over the wall for a double, and the Padres win the ball game. 7-6 is the final. They mob Profar. He never reached second base as he bounced it over the fence. Just out of the reach of Thomas. The Padres score 4 times and win the ball game in dramatic fashion.
I wonder if the Nationals radio broadcaster also had Profar 1.5, because he pointed that out real quick.
He nailed that one. He is on top of that.
Man, and that's a bad beat for anybody.
A little quirk on that ground rule single by Jurickson and Profar. But then
Jurickson and Profar turning a double into a single, just like I do. Just like I do on Sundays. That's amazing.
So Jurickson is mobbed. The celebration spills toward the third base dugout of Petco Park, and Jurickson is certainly enthusiastic. I mean, he's fired up.
Yeah, dude.
He said after the game, you know, felt disrespected when they intentionally walked Arias to get to me. Was emotionally charged by, you know, taking a ball that was up and in earlier in the bat. So he was certainly fired up. But you know, the demonstration. Well, you know, some people may have taken it a little bit. I don't know the wrong way, but certainly they noticed. Here's what the TV broadcaster said for the Nats.
And I tell you what, Bob, the Nationals dugout is not thrilled with the way the Jurickson Profar celebrated that walk-off hit. He went right towards the Nationals dugout and started screaming at them. And Ildemaro Vargas, Jesse Winker, K-Bert Ruiz stood on the warning track as the Padres were celebrating that walk-off. Jurickson Profar not celebrating by looking at his teammates. Instead, screaming at the Nationals dugout for the intentional walk that loaded the bases, challenging him in that moment. So, some drama.
Clown. You fill your diapers when you blow a three-run
lead.
Now,
it looked more like Jurickson was kind of looking beyond the Nationals dugout to me toward the Padres fans.
When he hit first and he hit first and he ran around and he was beating his chest and looking at the dugout yelling like, bro, that's
not enough. But he's looking like out toward left field. He's out beyond third base, out toward left field. Now he's definitely
towards the fans.
Definitely looking at the fans and not the dugout.
I don't and hey, at the end of the day, I don't care if he was. Good for him. Fire me up. You know what I mean? Like, who cares? It's baseball. You rest assured. If that happened to me or anybody I know, that would be the same thing. Like, it's a charge moment. You just came down. You're down three runs. You just won the game. Bases loaded. They intentionally walked somebody to get to you. Yeah, man, I'm going to beat my chest. I'm going to look right in your dugout and say, good call. Nice work. Well done. And let them have it a little bit. It's part of the game. The Nationals do it too. They were dancing around. C.J. Abrams was dancing around in front of the dugout after Senzel hit his homer. C.J. Abrams grinning into the Padres dugout after every hit he got. Give me an effing break. Turnabout is fair play. It's absolutely fair play. Nick Senzel screaming, running around the bases like he's Joe Carter in the World Series. Good for you. It's a huge hit. Have a ball. I'm glad our guys
had a bigger hit.
Yeah, I'm glad our guys didn't fill their diapers after. I'm reading radio host comments in Washington this morning. Oh my God, who's that? What's his name?
Snotten Storch.
No, Snotten
they
Storch.
Moved to D.C.
Grant Paulson says this morning. Grant Paulson from Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. I'm assuming he's an Odyssey colleague potentially. He said Jurickson Profar pretended to almost die on two fastballs that weren't close to him. Then he trolled the Nats dugout while celebrating like he won the World Series. Must be a closet Dodger fan. Could be some drama in this series in the 2 days ahead. That was amateur hour. All right. I mean, amateur hour is also blowing a three-run lead in the 10th, buddy. So I don't know what to tell you, Grant. But, you know, game one goes to the pods. Listen, as far as any payback or anything like that goes, I hate to say this. This is just me being completely honest. Padres are a good team to do it against because we certainly don't retaliate much. So if it does happen, I expect the boys to know why it happened. Mackenzie Gore is a really good pitcher. He throws really hard. He's got good command. You know exactly what happens if Mackenzie Gore goes up and in or dots Profar today or something like that.
Profar probably going to be batting second.
And I expect retaliation. I absolutely do because the guy celebrated after a monster hit against a team that is right behind you in the standings.
Well,
if there's one
player in the Padres who isn't going to take anything, it's Jurickson Profar.
No question.
I thought you were going to say it's Adam Major.
That poor guy's like, son of a bitch, I just got called up and I'm right in the middle of this. Now, you want to earn your stripes?
It's an opportunity.
You can dot somebody before they dot somebody.
And the funny thing is if Major goes out and dots the first guy or whatever, warnings will be issued. It's actually the smart strategic play. If you're going to do it, you
take all control out of Washington's hands.
And then if Mackenzie Gore even goes up and into somebody, he could get wrung. So, yeah,
get the lefty starter out of the game early.
Get him out of the game.
Why not? Good strategy.
Get the opener ready to go.
It was awesome. It was an awesome win. Congrats to Jurickson. Huge, huge dub last night.
All right, we'll talk more about this and the Padres injury situation coming up. Right now, though, let's play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, we got Mike standing by to play Take on Woods, which is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car for directions and discounts. Go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning. Go Pods.
You're taking on Steven Woods today. We had Bo Woods in yesterday as well for a little extra game of Take on Woods. He crushed it. Let's see how you do in our three category choices. It's not false. Those are the opposite of false in your songs. We got Rick's Cafe, five musical artists named Rick. And we got Keep the Change, song titles and artists that include a type of coin in the name. Again, what you're playing for is the grand prize drawing, trip for two to the Fontainebleau Las Vegas. Two nights, tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins and a $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages, tickets available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. Which category of those, It's Not False, Rick's Cafe, or Keep the Change, do you want to play, Mike?
Rick's Cafe.
Okay. We are on the hunt for five musical artists, all named Rick. You have 60 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Then Woods goes. If you beat her time, we'll put you into the drawing. First question's the two-second song. You need to give me the song title and then the artist. Again, his first name is Rick, to give me to get the point on that one. Mike, you ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays our music. Good luck, Mike. Let's take on Woods.
Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Correct. 1981 was a big year for which artist when he released the album Street Songs, including his signature hit Super Freak?
Rick James.
Correct. Which larger-than-life booming-voiced rapper released his debut single with 2006 Hustlin'? Which Australian singer wished that he had his friend Gary's girl but changed the name to Jesse's girl in the song?
Rick Springfield.
Correct. Famous for the song Hang On Sloopy with the McCoys in the 1960s, which artist also had solo success with his 1973 single Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo?
Oh, go back to the other one.
All right, which larger-than-life booming-voiced rapper released his debut single with 2006 Hustlin'?
Rick Ross.
Correct. Famous for the song Hang On Sloopy with the McCoys in the 1960s, which artist also had so... We ran out of time there, but you got four. Hang on the line, Mike. That's a good score in the category Rick's Cafe. Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. Rick James, Rick Ross, Rick Springfield. Rick Derringer was the only one you didn't get.
What was
I think
last song?
Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Thank you.
All right, let's see how Woods does. Interesting category. Rick's Mike's score is locked in. Let's go 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Mike.
That's Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Correct. 1981 was a big year for which artist when he released the album Street Songs, including his signature hit Super Freak?
Rick James.
Correct. Which larger-than-life booming-voiced rapper released his debut single with 2006 Hustlin'?
Rick Ross.
Correct. Which Australian singer wished that he had his friend Gary's girl but changed the name to Jesse's girl?
Rick Springfield.
Correct. Famous for the song Hang On Sloopy with the McCoys in the 1960s, which artist also had solo success with his 1973 single Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo?
Huh. Rick Derringer.
Oh! And a 5-4 win. In Rick's Cafe for Woodsy.
Rick's Cafe.
Very nicely done. Mike, good game. Four was good, but Rick Derringer was the difference in the end as Woodsy hangs on for the victory today.
On our old show, when I first started in radio, we had Rick Springfield in studio. Yes, and he had written a book, and he came in to promote it, and it was awesome. I mean, sitting there talking to Rick Springfield, you're like... You're literally one of the most handsome men
I didn't know
I've
he was Australian
seen.
Until yeah. I did the question.
He was like as cool as you could be. And stayed with us and chopped it up for like an hour. It was great. Great.
All right, no qualifier today. We'll try again with a new category added to the mix tomorrow. Let's take a quick time out. We'll come back. Don't Do This is coming up next. We didn't get to it yesterday, but there was a major suspension handed down
yes.
in Major League Baseball.
Interesting excuse for this one.
I didn't see this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
All right, we'll get to that and more coming up next after a check of traffic. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Tweeted it out last night. My brain was slightly broken by our Do This story coming
yeah,
up here in just a couple of minutes. Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Krafttaco.com. What's?
You go first, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
I will
you
go first.
Snell.
You can view this as a Don't Do This from many different perspectives. But Blake Snell's first Giant season is... it's not going well. His latest rehab start, very poor. An inning and two-thirds for the Sacramento River Cats. Three hits, two earned runs, walked three, didn't record any strikeouts as he tries to return from the IL with a groin strain. But after the outing, he expressed frustration that he is feeling pressure from the Giants to return before he's ready. Quote, "Haven't felt like myself yet," told reporters. "It's just, we need you, we need you, we need you. It's not like, let's get him right. And I have to deal with it. I want to be healthy and 100%, and I haven't been. I've just been fighting to rush back. So that's my take. I'm frustrated with that, and you don't get the product of what I should be, and it's just frustrating." Well, we know how he says frustrating.
Frustrated.
Yeah, I want to go out there and dominate and pitch the way that I pitch, but it's more important that I'm out there. What's your take here, Woods? Because,
man,
obviously he knows Bob Melvin. It's not like he's got a new manager who doesn't understand Blake Snell.
We know him. We know him. We heard the "I'm not comfortable yet" thing. Like, we heard that. But this is a health situation exacerbated by the fact that he did not throw at all because his agent told him not to.
I think it's clear he got a lot of bad advice.
He got a ton of bad advice in the offseason.
Sucks for him.
And the thing is, Paulie, is like, if your agent tells you, you just want a Cy Young, bro. Your super agent tells you, we're going to get you paid. You're going to go to a place you love, and you're going to get your bag. Don't throw. You can only screw this up if you do anything, which I know for a fact happened. And Blake goes out and is like, okay, like I won't throw. And then it
sounds weird, but I'll trust
you. He misses a spring training. He can't get it going. Like, we know Blake Snell. We know him. He's not going to be at his best unless he's mentally there and physically there. He's not. He never was until he got healthy and right and comfortable and all that. Like, Farhan Zaidi should have known that when he signed him.
Or just ask Bob Melvin.
Bob Melvin knows this.
Bob Melvin knows all these things we're saying.
So what Blake is saying is true. There's no way that's coming from Bob.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, I mean, there's pressure from fans, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know.
Yeah.
The GM that forked over $31 million.
They just know they signed a Cy Young Award winner and expect him to pitch like a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah,
I feel the same way.
I would, too. And if I'm a fan, I'm like, all right, I get it. But crap, dude. They do need him. They absolutely need him. They're still in it as well. And, you know, you spent a lot of dough. You spent a lot of dough to get him. And, look, ultimately, for me, it always falls on the player to be ready to go. It does. It falls on the player to be ready to go out and pitch and execute. But, yeah, interesting. It's not great. right now for Blake Snell and the San Francisco Giants and their fans. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, if you're a Blue Jays fan right now, you were really excited on Friday night. You called up your number two prospect, Aurelvis Martinez. Got his first Major League Baseball hit in his debut against the Guardians. And then 2 days later on Sunday, got an 80-game suspension. He tested positive for performance-enhancing substance clomiphene, also known as Clomid. And so he gets the suspension, fails the drug test. He comes out and says, I take full responsibility for my actions. I accept my suspension. I want to apologize to my teammates in Buffalo, Toronto, the Blue Jays organization, the fans who supported me during my career. Said he had been prescribed a fertility drug by a doctor in the Dominican Republic during the offseason that resulted in the positive test. So, you know, I knew a little bit about Clomid before. I looked it up. A lot of women use it to treat infertility. Women do not ovulate. The women that can't ovulate, they take Clomid. For men, it boosts your testosterone, and it helps your swimmers swim better. But so,
do they prescribe anything in the Dominican Republic that doesn't have steroids?
Bro,
in it?
It's and if that's the thing is like again, it's going to fall.
Tatis has a rash. Steroids.
It's going to fall on. It's always going to fall on the players, right? To make sure there's a whole protocol involved. It's hard to. You're talking about different cultures and everything else. It's hard to. It's hard to. They try to make it easy by saying, hey, these are on the banned substances list. If somebody tells you to take this, you have to check it with us.
Your team doctors are there.
They're there for a reason.
Check everything.
Yeah, so he's.
I know he said he wanted to keep it super private. Even family members.
Yeah, family members didn't know
it,
they were trying to have a kid or whatever.
Bro, look, and if that's the case, your team doctors aren't going to post it on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, if that's the case, sucks. I mean, but again, it's you did the crime in this instance. You did the time. Whether you took it knowingly or unknowingly, it still falls on you.
You got a toothache, Nandrolone.
Yes.
You've got an upset stomach, Stanislaw.
Clostebol.
This is what we do in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, it's
steroids
tough,
cure everything.
It does. I mean, it's tough. Like I just it if it increases testosterone, they're going to get you. They're just gonna get you. Yeah, every time.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
From our great tier one and former NIL sponsored collegiate golfer, now professional golfer on the Japan tour, Steve Sugimoto, who's back home. Recovering from an injury, unfortunately.
Injury on his hand,
hand injury. But that allowed him an opportunity to go to the game last night. And Steve stuck it out to the end. He's obviously sitting, looks like behind home plate in the upper level of Petco Park. And he's filming a video during the final at-bat of the game. And this broke my brain because obviously this is happening and unfolding live in front of
him. In real time.
There's no special effects. There's no camera tricks. It's just a cell phone video, and you'll be able to hear the audio of Steve just kind of calling this right as it's happening.
All right, I just got the notification. First and Profar walk off.
I just got the notification.
And here's the pitch.
And it looks on the field, and there it goes.
So we'll start with Toddy.
Oops. So my question here is, obviously, he couldn't have got. Now, we've all done that, where we're watching a game on TV, and because the feed is a little slow.
Happens a lot.
You get a notification about what's about to happen before it actually happens.
Somebody at the ballpark is setting that notification
it
happens.
Yeah, or someone texted you and you go, oh, my stream hasn't caught up to that yet. You saw it before I did. It's happened to everyone. He's actually sitting in the ballpark. There's no way he could have gotten a notification about Jurickson's walk-off before it happened.
Jurickson Profar walk-off.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't, Steve. You couldn't know.
You're
watching it right there. It's live.
There
it's not
it
on a monitor.
There it goes.
Like,
loses
we're still
his mind.
Probably another minute to 2 minutes away from the notification actually being sent.
So good.
I want to know. Did he do that for like seven straight pitches?
Now that would be a good bit.
Until it finally happened? Or was that just the one and done and it just happened the moment that he decided to hit record on his camera?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it was just like, hey, he had that feeling. You get that. I had the feeling earlier when Higgy, I told Hannah, I got up to brush my teeth. I go, Higgy ends this with one swing. And he did. And you just get those weird feelings throughout the season. Oftentimes they're wrong. Stevie felt it last night. I'm gonna choose to believe that that's the first take that he did. And is, in fact, a prophet.
Sid, come by the studio. We'd love to see you.
I tweeted him last night. Get your ass in
here. Great. All right. Good. And that's Don't and Do Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Just quickly, from Mark in the chat, he asked for a shout-out for my friend's 19-and-a-half-year-old dog, who unfortunately is going to the final vet visit today. Puggle named Mershak.
Mershak.
19-and-a-half, though, is...
That's a life well-lived.
That's a life well-lived for a Puggle.
Shout out
to his family.
Shout out to his family.
Shout out to Mershak's family.
We'll have another one, too, coming up at 8. We got another shout out to his family we have to do.
All right, we'll be joined by Bob Kendrick, who is the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. The passing of Willie Mays. When we come back, you don't want to miss that conversation. He is fantastic. That is next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Padres fans, let's make sure the Padres represented in Texas at the All-Star Game. Well, let's just make sure Jerickson Profar is there. You can help by voting up to 5 times per day at Padres.com/All-Star. Voting ends this Thursday, and they have an ad during the game yesterday with Kyrie.
Don't disappoint his son.
Profar asking, begging.
It's incredible.
Begging for you to vote for his dad.
You know, and it would be one thing if it was like, hey, man, like, you're not having a good year. We're not just going to vote you in because your kid wants. He's having a phenomenal season.
He's an all-star.
He's an all-star. So I really don't have any doubt that he's going to get there, but let's make sure. He does
continue to lead in the latest updated voting, so it looks like he's definitely going to get to the finals of the voting after the voting closes on Thursday. But again, you can go to Padres.com/All-Star again through Thursday for the preliminary round of All-Star voting. A couple of quick stats here before we get to Bob Kendrick here in a couple of minutes. Some stats from comparisons from last year, and this is from the UT this morning. So the Padres now have 3 extra inning wins this year in 3 games, 3-0. Last year, they had 2 extra inning wins in 14 chances, 2-12. And both of those came in like the last couple of weeks of the season, the last 2 opportunities. They now have 10 one-run wins this year. They're 10-12. Not great, but better than last year when they had 9 all year. 9-23 in one-run games.
God.
They have now 6 times come back to win from down 3 or more runs. That only happened 4 times all last year. Remember, we're only halfway through this season. They've already done it 2 more times than last year. They have 16 wins when they've trailed or been tied in the 7th inning or later. Only had 18 all of last year. 5 walk-off wins. Had 2 walk-offs all of last season. And they're now 18-13 in games in which they've lost a lead, where they had it and then lost it. They were 18-33 in those games last year. So quite the stark difference between 2023 Padres when it comes to these tense games and the 2024 Padres, who've been completely different.
I love it. It's great. It's aging me incredibly in all of us, but I'd rather have this than a bunch of L's.
And the other unique thing is that next week will be the 55th anniversary of the only other time in Padres history that they gave up 3 or more runs in an extra inning and then came back and scored more than that to win. They gave up 4 on July 5th, 1969, their first season to the Astros in the top of the 12th. Scored 5 in the bottom of the 12th to win 9-8. Hadn't happened again until last night when they scored 4 in the bottom of the 10th to beat.
God, it's insane. Insane.
The Washington Nationals.
How long can it go, man? How long can it last?
All right, let's check traffic. When we come back, we're expected to be joined by Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. Talk about Willie Mays and more next year on 97.3 The Fan. Saw a nice moment last night up in the Bay Area. The San Francisco Giants all wore number 24 to honor Willie Mays. Ended up getting a walk-off victory in the bottom of the 9th inning against the Chicago Cubs. Of course, saw the amazing show that MLB put on last week at the Rickwood Field game in Birmingham, Alabama, Willie's hometown. And one of the guests there that day is joining us right now. He's been on the program before. He is a treasure trove of baseball history and knowledge, and it is a pleasure to welcome the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, Bob Kendrick, back with us here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan here in San Diego. Bob, good morning to you. It is great to have you back on.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
You've been a very, very busy man over the last couple of weeks. We had talked about trying to get you on, and Paulie, our producer, said, hey, he can only come on Tuesday. And I said, fine, absolutely. We'll take Bob Kendrick anytime. You've been very busy telling stories and doing all the things that you do. Obviously, a huge, tremendous loss to the baseball world, losing Willie Mays. What a career. What a life. What a man he was. What is your number one favorite Willie Mays story, Bob?
Well, it's a story that he shared with me directly, and I was able to share that on air on last Thursday on the Fox broadcast. But I'm out in San Francisco in 2016, and Brian Murphy, who is a big-time radio sports talk show host there in the Bay Area, had set up for me to come out and speak to a group of kids out of Mill Valley, California. But the day that I arrived, they were having a memorial service for a former San Francisco Giant pitcher. And so all the greats were there. Willie's there, Orlando Cepeda, Felipe Alou. They were playing the Florida Marlins, and Barry Bonds, who was coaching for them, he was there. But anyway, they arranged for me to have some private time with Mr. Mays. Now, this is one of those pinch me kinds of moments. I get private time with Willie Mays. And so we're down in the player's garage, and Murph asked me, said, Willie, did you ever face Satchel Paige? And fellas, Willie lights up like a Christmas tree. He says, yes, I faced Satchel when I was 17 years old. And the first time I faced Satchel, I got a double off of it. Well, Satchel didn't know who this kid was. He threw him a little off-speed something. Young Willie Mays hits it in the gap, gets a double. Satchel steps off the mound. He looks over at the third baseman and says, hey, man, you let me know when he comes back up again. A couple innings later, here comes young Willie Mays back in the batter's box. The third baseman says, hey, Satch, there he is. Satchel looks at him and says, son, I ain't going to try to trick you. I'm going to throw you three fastballs. Now, Mr. Mays, even at 17, he's thinking to himself, you're going to throw me three fastballs and I know they're coming. Willie said, he threw three straight right by me. I never saw him. And on the third pitch, Satchel, by the time he releases the ball, he's halfway between the mound and the batter's box. And Willie said, he's turning to go back to the dugout, and Satchel looks at him and says, now go sit down, little boy. And
that's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable because he is arguably the greatest major leaguer of all time.
Yeah.
I think he is.
Remember being struck out by Satchel Paige.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, Bob. We talked about, obviously, the numbers were there. The man was 5'10", 170 pounds, and played the way that he played with the power that he had. It's staggering, staggering career.
Well, it really is because he seemed much larger because he felt like he was larger than life. But when you look at that 5'10", 170, the man was absolutely chiseled.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't lifting any weight. He was just doing what country boys do. You know, all that hard work in the field, and he was just ripped. And he just had some God-given ability. But I don't want that to diminish the cerebral aspect of Willie Mays brought to the game. He was a very astute ball player. And so Bob Costas and I were talking, and Willie would say himself that he made the easy plays look hard and the hard plays look easy because baseball entertainment. You were going to be thoroughly entertained when you watch Willie Mays play. And he was the consummate five-tool guy, but you're right, 5'10", 170 pounds of dynamite.
It's unreal.
Talking about Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and you know, Willie Mays hit his 600th career home run here at San Diego Stadium and finished, of course, with 660, not quite Babe Ruth, but a lot of people were pointing out, Bob, this last week, he played his games, what, at the Polo Grounds and then at Candlestick Park, two of the worst places for power hitters, especially, you know, right-handed power hitters. Had he played in a more friendly environment, you know, for his 20-plus years, I mean, where would he have been, Bob, in home runs? I mean, number one all time?
Well, he certainly would have eclipsed Ruth's 714 prior to Henry doing it. There's no question in my mind. He was averaging almost 40 home runs a year. He lost nearly 2 years to service fighting in the Korean War. And so, yeah, there's no doubt that he would have broken the record first. who knows what that home run total would have been, because he did miss a couple of prime years there during his wartime. And yeah, but it just fills my heart with joy when you start to think about names like Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, Ernie Banks, all members of the 500 Home Run Club, all come out of the Negro Leagues.
No question
and
about it.
For those, for those who sometimes doubt the validity of the talent that was there in the Negro Leagues, they are just three examples of that immense talent. They were three young players who transitioned into Major League Baseball who became big stars.
Talking
I know
about
it's hard for people to understand, but there are guys who were better than Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, and Ernie Banks that didn't get that opportunity.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I know we only got a couple minutes left. Talking to Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, we were talking about last week with the game on Thursday night in Birmingham, and then, of course, you know, there's been, and you know, you run the Negro Leagues Museum there. Do you feel there's been a really strong resurgence lately? And I know, you know, kids love video games, right? And they put the Negro League players into MLB The Show, and now young kids are getting into it as well. I had that when I was a kid. I learned about it, and now it feels like there's this really cool resurgence happening and more people wanting to know about it.
And I couldn't be more happier. That is exactly what we hoped would happen when we started this museum way back in 1990. When I first met Buck O'Neill, one of the first questions I posed to him was, Buck, what motivated you to want to build a Negro Leagues Baseball Museum? And his answer was, so that we would be remembered. And that's been our mission from the onset. And it's beautiful to see all these milestone moments happening in and around the Negro Leagues, and that the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum certainly has had a hand in making these milestones occur so that these players are not only being remembered, but their legacies will play on through this museum. And the fact that young people are learning about these players, but not only learning about them, guys, they're falling in love with these players from the Negro Leagues through a video game, which was the biggest thing this museum has ever done, was how do you bring the Negro Leagues to life? You put them in a video game.
Of course, before you go, you want to celebrate the good and remember all the great athletes, but I thought at the Rickwood Field game, the most powerful moment was Reggie Jackson, and I'm sure you saw the video, even if you didn't see it live, of him telling the real story of what it was like to play back in the South in that day. And I don't think I ever kind of really realized it the way he put it, though, and how hard it was for some of those players trying to integrate the game of baseball.
And you figure, you know, you hear Reggie tell this story, and I'd heard Reggie tell that when he came to visit us here at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. This is in the late 60s and 70s, guys. This is not 1947.
Right.
And those black players were still experiencing many of the things that Reggie shared. They were painful and difficult to hear. But as I relate that story, there was a former Negro Leagues player named John Mule Miles. Former Tuskegee Airman, lived in San Antonio. And he had a classic quote relative to their testimony. Because sometimes people believe that when you tell your story that you're crying, that you're complaining. And that was so far from the case. As he would say, I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. This is what happened. And this is part of my story. Now, everybody didn't handle it the same way. Because if you talk to the majority of the Negro League players, and they went through even far more than what Reggie alluded to. But they just seemingly never allowed their hearts to be hardened with hate, and they were never bitter about it. And they just seemed to rise above whatever social circumstances that were put in front of them. Now, that doesn't mean that they liked the things that happened to them as they were traveling the highways and byways of this country. They didn't. And they shared those stories. But they also wanted you to know the joy that they had in playing this game. And to me, that's why the story of the Negro Leagues, I believe, is one of the greatest stories in the annals of American history, because it's about the ability for the American spirit to come in and persevere and prevail.
Bob,
they never cried about this.
Bob, so powerful. Really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. And if anyone gets a chance, I can't wait. I've never been to Kansas City, but can't wait to get an opportunity to visit the museum myself. Appreciate your time this morning.
Anytime when you come out, the ribs are on me.
That's even another incentive to head on out. Bob Kendrick,
the best.
President of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. We're a little over time here, but we'll come back, reset everything. Tuesday morning. Yeah, fantastic stuff on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back. Padres fans, let's make sure the Padres represented in Texas at the All-Star Game. Well, let's just make sure Jerickson Profar is there. You can help by voting up to five times per day at Padres.com/All-Star. Voting ends this Thursday, and they had the ad during the game yesterday with Kyrie
his son.
Profar asking, begging.
It's incredible.
Begging for you to vote for his dad.
You know, and it would be one thing if it was like, hey, man, like, you're not having a good year. We're not just going to vote you in because your kid wants. He's having a phenomenal season.
He's an all-star.
He's an all-star. So I really don't have any doubt that he's going to get there, but let's make sure. He does
continue to lead in the latest updated voting, so it looks like he's definitely going to get to the finals of the voting after the voting closes on Thursday. But again, you can go to Padres.com/All-Star again through Thursday for the preliminary round of All-Star voting. A couple of quick stats here before we get to Bob Kendrick here in a couple of minutes. Some stats from comparisons from last year, and this is from the UT this morning. So the Padres now have 3 extra inning wins this year in 3 games, 3-0.
3-0.
Last year, they had 2 extra inning wins in 14 chances, 2-12. And both of those came in like the last couple of weeks of the season, the last 2 opportunities. They now have 10 one-run wins this year. They're 10-12. Not great, but better than last year when they had 9 all year. 9-23 in one-run games.
God.
They have now 6 times come back to win from down 3 or more runs. That only happened 4 times all last year. Remember, we're only halfway through this season. They've already done it 2 more times than last year. They have 16 wins when they've trailed or been tied in the 7th inning or later. Only had 18 all of last year. 5 walk-off wins. Had 2 walk-offs all of last season. And they're now 18-13 in games in which they've lost a lead, where they had it and then lost it. They were 18-33 in those games last year. So quite the stark difference between 2023 Padres when it comes to these tense games and the 2024 Padres, who've been completely different.
I love it. It's great. It's aging me incredibly in all of us, but I'd rather have this than a bunch of L's.
And the other unique thing is that next week will be the 55th anniversary of the only other time in Padres history that they gave up 3 or more runs in an extra inning and then came back and scored more than that to win. They gave up 4 on July 5th, 1969, their first season to the Astros in the top of the 12th. Scored 5 in the bottom of the 12th to win 9-8. Hadn't happened again until last night when they scored 4 in the bottom of the 10th to beat.
God, it's insane. Insane.
The Washington Nationals.
How long can it go, man? How long can it last?
All right, let's check traffic. When we come back, we're expected to be joined by Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. Talk about Willie Mays and more next year on 97.3 The Fan. Saw a nice moment last night up in the Bay Area. The San Francisco Giants all wore number 24 to honor Willie Mays. Ended up getting a walk-off victory in the bottom of the 9th inning against the Chicago Cubs. Of course, saw the amazing show that MLB put on last week at the Rickwood Field game in Birmingham, Alabama, Willie's hometown. And one of the guests there that day is joining us right now. He's been on the program before. He is a treasure trove of baseball history and knowledge, and it is a pleasure to welcome the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, Bob Kendrick, back with us here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan here in San Diego. Bob, good morning to you. It is great to have you back on.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
You've been a very, very busy man over the last couple of weeks. We had talked about trying to get you on, and Paulie, our producer, said, hey, he can only come on Tuesday. And I said, fine, absolutely. We'll take Bob Kendrick anytime. You've been very busy telling stories and doing all the things that you do. Obviously, a huge, tremendous loss to the baseball world, losing Willie Mays. What a career. What a life. What a man he was. What is your number one favorite Willie Mays story, Bob?
Well, it's a story that he shared with me directly, and I was able to share that on air on last Thursday on the Fox broadcast. But I'm out in San Francisco in 2016, and Brian Murphy, who is a big-time radio sports talk show host there in the Bay Area had set up for me to come out and speak to a group of kids out of Mill Valley, California. But the day that I arrived, they were having a memorial service for a former San Francisco Giant pitcher. And so all the greats were there. Willie's there, Orlando Cepeda, Felipe Alou. They were playing the Florida Marlins, and Barry Bonds, who was coaching for them, he was there. But anyway, they arranged for me to have some private time with Mr. Mays. Now, this is one of those pinch me kinds of moments. I get private time with Willie Mays. And so we're down in the player's garage, and Murph asked me, said, Willie, did you ever face Satchel Paige? And fellas, Willie lights up like a Christmas tree. He says, yes, I faced Satchel when I was 17 years old. And the first time I faced Satchel, I got a double off of it. Well, Satchel didn't know who this kid was. He threw him a little off-speed something. Young Willie Mays hits it in the gap, gets a double. Satchel steps off the mound. He looks over at the third baseman and says, hey, man, you let me know when he comes back up again. Couple innings later, here comes young Willie Mays back in the batter's box. The third baseman says, hey, Satch, there he is. Satch looks at him and says, son, I ain't going to try to trick you. I'm going to throw you three fastballs. Now, Mr. Mays, even at 17, he's thinking to himself, you going to throw me three fastballs and I know they're coming? Willie said, he threw three straight right by me. I never saw him. And on the third pitch, Satchel, by the time he releases the ball, he's halfway between the mound and the batter's box. And Willie said he's turning to go back to the dugout, and Satchel looks at him and says, now go sit down, little boy. And
it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable because he is arguably the greatest major leaguer of all time.
Yeah.
I think he is.
Remember being struck out by Satchel Paige.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, Bob. We talked about, obviously, the numbers were there. The man was 5'10", 170 pounds, and played the way that he played with the power that he had. It's staggering, staggering career.
Well, it really is because he seemed much larger because he felt like he was larger than life. But when you look at that 5'10", 170, the man was absolutely chiseled.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't lifting any weights. He was just doing what country boys do. You know, all that hard work in the field, and he was just ripped. And he just had some God-given ability. But I don't want that to diminish the cerebral aspect of Willie Mays brought to the game. He was a very astute ball player. And so Bob Costas and I were talking, and Willie would say himself that he made the easy plays look hard and the hard plays look easy. Because baseball entertainment, you were going to be thoroughly entertained when you watch Willie Mays play. And he was the consummate five-tool guy, but you're right, 5'10", 170 pounds of dynamite.
It's unreal.
Talking to Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and you know, Willie Mays hit his 600th career home run here at San Diego Stadium and finished, of course, with 660, not quite Babe Ruth, but a lot of people were pointing out, Bob, this last week, he played his games, at the Polo Grounds and then at Candlestick Park, two of the worst places for power hitters, especially, you know, right-handed power hitters. Had he played in a more friendly environment, you know, for his 20-plus years, I mean, where would he have been, Bob, in home runs? I mean, number one all time?
Well, he certainly would have eclipsed Ruth's 714 prior to Henry doing it. There's no question in my mind. He was averaging almost 40 home runs a year. He lost nearly 2 years to service fighting in the Korean War. And so, yeah, there's no doubt that he would have broken the record first. Who knows what that home run total would have been? Because he did miss a couple of prime years there during his wartime. And, yeah, it just fills my heart with joy when you start to think about names like Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, Ernie Banks, all members of the 500 Home Run Club, all come out of the Negro Leagues.
No question and about it.
For those who sometimes doubt the validity of the talent that was there in the Negro Leagues, they are just three examples of that immense talent. They were three young players who transitioned into Major League Baseball who became big stars.
Talking
I know it's hard for people to understand, but they're guys who were better than Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, and Ernie Banks that didn't get that opportunity.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I know we only got a couple minutes left. Talking to Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, we were talking about last week with the game on Thursday night in Birmingham. And then, of course, you know, there's been, and you know, you run the Negro Leagues Museum there. Do you feel there's been a really strong resurgence lately? And I know, you know, kids love video games, right? And they put the Negro League players into MLB The Show. And now young kids are getting into it as well. I had that when I was a kid. I learned about it, and now it feels like there's this really cool resurgence happening and more people wanting to know about it.
And I couldn't be more happier. That is exactly what we hoped would happen when we started this museum way back in 1990. When I first met Buck O'Neill, one of the first questions I posed to him was, Buck, what motivated you to want to build a Negro Leagues Baseball Museum? And his answer was, so that we would be remembered. And that's been our mission from the onset. And it's beautiful to see all these milestone moments happening in and around the Negro Leagues, and that the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum certainly has had a hand in making these milestones occur so that these players are not only being remembered, but their legacies will play on through this museum. And the fact that young people are learning about these players, but not only learning about them, guys, they're falling in love with these players from the Negro Leagues through a video game, which was the biggest thing this museum has ever done, was how do you bring the Negro Leagues to life? You put them in a video game.
Of course, before you go, you want to celebrate the good and remember all the great athletes, but I thought at the Rickwood Field game, the most powerful moment was Reggie Jackson, and I'm sure you saw the video, even if you didn't see it live, of him telling the real story of what it was like to play back in the South in that day. And I don't think I ever kind of really realized it the way he put it, though, and how hard it was for some of those players trying to integrate the game of baseball.
And you figure, you know, you hear Reggie tell this story, and I'd heard Reggie tell that when he came to visit us here at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. This is in the late 60s and 70s, guys. This is not 1947.
Right.
And they, those black players were still experiencing many of the things that Reggie shared. They were painful and difficult to hear. But as I relate that story, there was a former Negro Leagues player named John Mule Miles. Former Tuskegee Airman, lived in San Antonio. And he had a classic quote relative to their testimony. Because sometimes people believe that when you tell your story that you're crying, that you're complaining. And that was so far from the case. As he would say, I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. This is what happened. And this is part of my story. Now, everybody didn't handle it the same way. Because if you talk to the majority of the Negro League players, and they went through even far more than what Reggie alluded to. But they just seemingly never allowed their hearts to be hardened with hate, and they were never bitter about it. And they just seemed to rise above whatever social circumstances that were put in front of them. Now, that doesn't mean that they liked the things that happened to them as they were traveling the highways and byways of this country. They didn't. And they shared those stories. But they also wanted you to know the joy that they had in playing this game. And to me, that's why the story of the Negro Leagues, I believe, is one of the greatest stories in the annals of American history, because it's about the ability for the American spirit to come in and persevere and prevail.
Bob,
they never cried about this.
Bob, so powerful. Really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. And if anyone gets a chance, I can't wait. I've never been to Kansas City, but can't wait to get an opportunity to visit the museum myself. Appreciate your time this morning.
Anytime. When you come out, the ribs are on me.
That's even another incentive to head on out. Bob Kendrick,
the best.
President of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. We're a little over time here, but we'll come back, reset everything. Tuesday morning. Yeah, fantastic stuff on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.